Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Three Under Par podcast. This is a golf podcast where
little white balls run.
I'm your host, Scotty T, and I'm joined by my co-host, T-Bone, in the building. What's going on, my man?
What's up? Happy to be here.
Happy to be here. Ready to talk some golf. The Honda Classic was this weekend. Even though Honda gets a bad rap for being a more generic name, still turned out to be a pretty good weekend of golf. So we're here to break that down. We're going to talk episode 3 and 4 of the Netflix series Full Swing, which we have some thoughts about that, I'm sure. To preface, we have not talked about this in advance. So I have no idea what T-Bone's going to say over there. He has no idea what I'm going to say over here. So it's going to be a good time. We're coming to you borderline live, pre-recorded to the audience. And then we're going to give our top 5 manufacturing golf brands. I don't know, debate. We'll bring this up earlier, but like, is Nike in the conversation right now? I don't know, but stay tuned to find out. We'll set the parameters later. But that's enough of me, T-Bone. Take it away, man. What is going on?
So I would say interesting, maybe even, do I even say down week of golf? We've had a few good ones in a row here, but Honda Classic was pretty low key. I don't know. Looking at the leaderboard, there wasn't a lot that really stuck out to me, but it looked like it was a pretty good finish. And if I remember correctly, I think this might be potentially the last Honda Classic, which has been on the tour schedule for quite some time. So I think it's a pretty good tournament. A lot of mixed emotions about it. I think there are a good number of people who aren't a big fan of this tournament, but yeah, it was a good finish. Chris Kirk definitely made it interesting. Almost hit the Honda car that was, you know, kind of the prop car out in the middle of the lake. So that was
so great.
We had that. We had our first LIV golf event. Bryson, Chucky Three Sticks, and the Crushers got it done this week in Mayakoba. I didn't get to watch a ton of it because I don't have the CW app, unfortunately. But yeah, I think, you know, that just kind of based on my, you know, I guess just kind of looking around social media and stuff, I think LIV Golf was very low key this week. And this was supposed to be, you know, the season opener, a lot of hype, a lot of, you know, team rivalries, and it just didn't do it for me. So, kind of a low key week of golf, but some good ones coming up on the calendar. So, you know, as we've kind of talked about, full steam ahead with golf season.
Absolutely. Totally agree. We are in the thick of it. I think that's an interesting point, T-Bone. Honda Classic, big names weren't necessarily there, not the elevated event. I think that's right. I don't know. They've changed it a lot in the last year, really kind of need to catch up on it. So apologize in advance to everybody. But point is, the big names weren't there, especially after back-to-back, as you mentioned, awesome weeks at the Waste Management and the Genesis Open. So here were the – I'm looking at the LIV Golf ratings, the Nielsen ratings for Saturday overnight ratings for the LIV Golf Mayakoba, which, to your point, the first event of the year, they're trying to generate that buzz, that excitement. Team event as well. Everybody, you know, Dustin Johnson and Sergio Garcia got dropped by Adidas because they're wearing the team apparel. It's like high school golf, man, right? That's like you and KJ rolling up there in your strapper gear together. Like, that's what all these guys are doing now, rolling up in their gear, matching uniforms. I'm like, what are we, 17 years old and trying to break 80? Like, come on, guys. But also did not help that the big names weren't necessarily in contention. Charles Howell III comes away with the win, which, side note, I forget the exact numbers here, but Charles Howell III won $4.2 million this weekend. That's more than all of his PGA Tour wins combined. And he won, you know, he's won millions of dollars on the tour, but I think of all of his winnings, he's won 3 times on tour, 3.something million, and he won $4.25 million, if my numbers are correct. Unbelievable money. Like, that's why I get guys like Charles Howell III going over to LIV to begin with. But going back to the ratings, it was a 0.2. Nielsen ratings were 0.2 for Live Golf.
What does that
As
even mean?
this, yeah,
It can't be good.
it's not good. I'm reading a New York Post article right now, an absolutely disastrous figure that indicated only 0.2% of households surveyed tuned in. Look, I know that they were
Almost
struggling to.
better than I thought, if you break it down by that metric.
Well, what's better, that or streaming on YouTube? It seemed like, at least in YouTube, you have a wide audience. With CW, to your point, you're really limiting your audience. I think we froze you there, T-Bone, so I'll turn up the speaker view here. But not a good week in terms of ratings. To put in perspective, the Genesis Open drew 1.8 on Saturday's third round on Saturday. So I'm not sure. I don't know if they're necessarily in for the Honda yet, but that's the disadvantage, I think, of having 54 holes is that you're in a tournament on a Saturday. People are used to tuning into golf on a Sunday. It's more just an adjustment behavior, but it's really hard for those who are in businesses or specifically work in media to change customer behavior. It's very, very difficult. So something to keep in mind there. But yeah, going back to Honda. So Chris Kirk comes away with the win. Look, I was watching in class on 18 when he pulled through with. I was like, what are we doing here, man? One shot lead. There's the pin is tucked, and there's so much that can go wrong when you go for that green and two. And even if you do miss, if you want to pull 3 wood, aim for the grandstands, man, right? Like we've talked a lot about this, how the grandstands can be used to such an advantage for tour players. Like you hit it in the one place that you just can't. Again, thankfully, you won. Great story. Talked about his struggles with addiction and overcoming that. And now the 34-year-old is a winner on the PGA Tour. Let's see. Waited an eternity to win again on tour, having not collected a trophy in nearly 8 years. So pretty neat. 14 under par was the winning score. Also for Eric Cole, tough whip out, man. Are you kidding me? It's lip outs like that that give golfers trust issues. It is that lip out was offensive. Almost, but hey, that's golf. That's why we play it. It's just, I'd imagine a little hand. We've seen the GIFs of the little hand coming out and giving him the middle finger on the way out. I'm sure that somebody's made that somewhere on the internet. But yeah, with the Mayakoba this week and the PGA Tour, I wanted to tune into the PGA Tour. And that's not because maybe it's the ease of access thing. I'm more of a fan of the PGA Tour than Live myself, but it was like I'm not going to go through the extra steps to go watch Live at this point. So that's just me. But if it's Dustin Johnson versus Brooks versus Bryson, they're in the mix going down the hunt back and forth to each other. Maybe I will, but I'm just less inclined to at this moment. What do you think?
Yeah,
Because
no,
this is the first time they've gone head to head.
I would definitely watch it, but I don't even know where to start with the CW or the CW app or whatever. Honestly, their first season they had it on YouTube, which I kind of liked. And I would just go watch it on YouTube, but it would have to be really compelling for me to take the extra steps to watch a live golf tournament, which, like you said, it could be, if we have all the superstars going head to head, but as of late, it's been kind of these older veterans that don't really move the needle that's been, winning these live golf tournaments. So that makes it a little bit tougher. But yeah, I'm curious to know where it goes from here. I've heard a lot of talks about them. They're like never gonna generate any revenue. And when you just talked about the ratings, and if there's no improvement, I'm just kind of curious to see where this goes. Sounds like they have an endless supply of money, but at the same time, I think the PGA Tour is just in a good spot when you match those two up head to head. So,
It's
and we said
yeah,
this
go
was
ahead.
the first tournament this year for the PGA Tour. Like, this is not a big stop, and now we've got, Arnold Palmer Invitational and the Players coming up next 2 weeks. So, good luck competing with those.
The players isn't 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Wow, that really snuck up on us.
It
Wow,
did. I
no
still don't know
kidding.
where it accustomed to the calendar change.
Yeah.
But yeah. March
So,
10th.
T-Bone, I have a golf gossip thing that I would like to bring up. It's been a while since we've done the golf gossip segment.
Has
Again,
been, yeah.
we did not preface this or prep for this, but I would love to hear your thoughts. So, yesterday, Live Golf Insider, the Twitter account, Live Golf Insider tweeted, Pat Perez is a top 10 golfer in the world right now. Nobody can deny that. He's playing at hashtag Live Golf so everyone can see his talent. The whole world watches Live Golf. I mean, what planet is this person or whatnot living on? Those are my initial thoughts. T-Bone, I want to turn it over to you. Look, it's no slight at Pat Perez or whatnot. I'm just in the picture, he has a shirt that's dollar bills all over it, holding a glass of wine, and he's got the mullet hair thing too. He looks like a wine owner right now who's just like sold a bunch of his wines and retired. So, Scap, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Another side note of Twitter and Live Golf. There was a thing trending this weekend about the Live Golf Instagram handle is owned by a girl named Olivia something, and she's like a high school golfer, and it has in her bio, they're like 33 handicap, JV golf team, and it's Live Golf. And I was like, holy shit, is that actually real? And the actual Live Golf Instagram is Live Golf Tour or something, or Live Golf League. So that's hilarious, first of all. They definitely should have taken care of that, especially with the money that they have. But Pat Perez, a
Seriously,
top
like,
10 golfer, is, I don't think he's top 20 in Live Golf.
that's interesting. I hadn't thought about it that way. You might be right.
Like, not even close, probably. I mean, DJ, Taylor Gooch, Cameron Smith, Bryson, Brooks. I don't know. Maybe Brooks could, he could give Brooks a run for his money right now. But that's just at the top of my head, guys that I'm thinking of. Oh, Joaquin Neiman, Mito Pereira. I mean, that's not. I would bet he's not top 10 on Live Golf Tour. So, but it's not surprising that they're trying to push stuff like that with, trying to hype up the product more than it is. I think that's kind of the where they're headed for the time being. So, yeah, golf gossip. I'm calling BS on that one, but
Well, I
I'm.
wanted to bring it up too because that's like a specific thing. It's not just like, oh, we're talking Liv in general, which like we kind of are, but that's like a specific instance, like Matt Kuchar not tipping his caddy. Like that's the bigger arching storylines we'll obviously try to cover in this podcast, but it's the little instances like that that is perfect for golf gossip, which to that other point, T-Bone, I would like to bring up one more potential golf gossip segment before we move on to Full Swing. So I don't know if you saw this or not, but Sports Illustrated launches a new SI World Golf Rankings. So I might it's been a few days since I've looked at it, so I might get the details wrong. I apologize in advance. But pretty much SI is trying to come up with their own new world rankings. So they said today we offer a new alternative to SI World Golf Rankings. Pretty much SI is trying to create a world golf ranking system that includes the Live guys. And it's very interesting. I don't think it's correct. They're like, without getting too technical, they're trying to, people really in the strokes gained, like off the tee or off the fairway strokes gained on the green, pretty much it's like how you did in relation to the field. They're changing little things like that that are kind of like integral to the World Golf Rankings, but pretty much it's like according to the New World Rankings, the Detroit Country Club, the home of the w Rocket Mortgage Classic, will be a tougher course than Riviera. I mean, what are we doing here, right? And then if you look up who's sponsoring this new rankings, they are an affiliate of Live Golf as well. So I am I getting That's, I think, the broader overarching theme. T-Bone, did I miss anything there?
No, I mean, the world golf ranking topic has to be figured out. I don't know the right way to
Definitely.
do it, I don't know the right way to do it. Sounds like this is already a little skewed with how it's going to be done, but it is hard to figure out when you have, all these a ton of no names in LIV Golf, honestly, competing against like older veterans. They just don't have the best players in the world, but at the same time, you can't have DJ outside the top 50 in the world. Just all these guys, Bryson, Joaquin Neiman, just continuing to fall. They've got to have some standing, but at the same time, I think it was clear that majors might be in jeopardy for these guys if they go to live. So ultimately, long term, this does need to be figured out, but also kind of like maybe they can, I guess suffer for a little bit, but this doesn't sound like the most fair world golf ranking system, and they do need to figure that out at some point with both of the tours. So
Absolutely, I totally agree. A world that does not have Dustin Johnson, and that I think top 50 is so generous. Top 20 right now. If
yeah.
he's not one of the top 20 players in the world, then that is it's wrong. But I don't know. This is a much larger conversation that we can probably dive into at a different point. But it's a flawed system. But without getting like a big thing is they play 54 holes, right? And according to the World Golf Rankings, that is not qualify them. That's one of the many aspects that does not qualify them to get points. So thankfully guys like DJ and like Bryson were high enough on world rankings. So yes, even though they slip every single week, they're still able to play in the majors this year. And as former major champions, they have certain exemptions. So
Yeah.
that's why you'll still see the big names out there at the major championships and the Masters, et cetera.
Yep. Well, I guess speaking of transitioning to live, do we jump into episode three?
Episode three. Yes. So I want to give my initial thoughts on three and four, and then we'll dive specifically into them. I thought it was really interesting getting essentially like a LIV Golf perspective and then a PGA Tour perspective. Both journeyman stories, I would say. Like, yes, Poulter has had a more success on tour, especially being a Ryder Cup legend, if you will, for the Europeans, which he absolutely is. And then the Joel Damon guy, who's just more of the common guy who just happens to be really good at hitting a golf ball.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed Joel Damon's story, even though I kind of knew about it in advance. It still was like really cool to see.
Yeah.
Poulter's, I found a little less interesting knowing the outcome already of where we were headed. But seeing him throw sticks too just kind of made me happy in the locker room when he found out he didn't make Augusta. But those are my initial thoughts. So T-Bone, break us down, episode three, Ian Poulter.
So first off, so I saw episode one and it's JT and Spieth and they're essentially splitting an episode. So when I'm getting more than halfway through the episode three, I'm like, oh, this is all Poulter. I was kind of surprised that they would dedicate a full episode to him and even to Joel Damon too, when you have Spieth and JT kind of splitting an episode. But
Great point. Great point.
I think the golf world does not like Ian Poulter, majority of the golf world, and I've always kind of liked him. And I think part of it is because of the fashion sense, for better or for worse, with Ian Poulter. But I've always respected the hell out of some of his outfits. So that was probably the scene where they go into his closet, he's packing for the PGA Championship. That was freaking awesome, and
You
I
loved it.
love getting to see his different plaid outfits and his son trying on all of his Oakleys and stuff. I thought that was really cool because when I think of Ian Poulter, I think of fashion. So I thought that was
It's like
really entertaining.
the frosted tips from the mid-2000s. Unbelievable. Nobody should have done that. Who was NSYNC and Backstreet Boys made that popular, I think. Man,
Yeah.
that was. But he had the skinny visor too. He just in the plaid
Yeah.
pants, it was a whole persona that he had taken on.
Yeah. No, that he had some incredible outfits and looks, and he actually had his own clothing brand that ended up going out of business, but that's for another time. But a few other things, I think kind of Well, so the theme of the episode is he's kind of on the back end of his career. He's struggling. Him losing his shit in the locker room was great. And I think probably all the golf fans out there saw the pic of that scene that ended up getting kind of thrown throughout social media of just the handles of Tito's sitting in this locker. I thought that was really funny, but I think one thing that was kind of like, I don't know about this episode was, it's almost like he's a veteran. He's struggling, doesn't really know like what his future is, so he needs to chase the paycheck. And I was like, yeah, he needs to chase a paycheck because he's flying his family private to another to across the pond. I was like, I mean, do you want me to feel bad for you? Kinda, but like, you've got a nice life. You and your kids are putting on the private jet. Like, I mean, so that's when I was like, okay, whatever. I get it. And, we've talked a lot about like Charles Howell going to, live. It makes sense for these guys, but it's almost like, I still need to make money. And I think they just maybe hit on that a little too much for my liking, when he's
It's like,
flying.
don't act like woe is me when you're flying private over the Europe. Like, in how much money he's made tens of millions of dollars just from on course earnings outside of his endorsements. I don't have much sympathy. Well, yeah, because they were making a big deal too of him missing the cut, which I thought he did have a good line where he was like, I don't like working for free. And when I miss a cut, I'm working for free.
And then
That
he
was
got on a
like, okay,
private
I
jet
got that. Yeah.
But honestly, I thought he was like, he seems like a really cool dude to hang with. Seems like a great dad. His son, who was briefly shown in the episode, committed to Florida or is maybe there right now. So, pretty cool to see the, father-son relationship there. But yeah, I think a lot of people hate Poulter. I wouldn't say I'm a big fan, but I'm a fan. And again, it is kind of sad, seeing that he potentially jeopardized his Ryder Cup career, and he would 100% be a captain in the future, which is a huge deal. And the Ryder Cup's such a huge deal to him. So that's kind of, I don't know. But kind of the last thing about that episode is when it shows him playing in the first live event, makes it look super badass. They're playing like hyped up music and all this stuff. I was like, I don't think that's the case. But I thought it was a cool episode. It's probably, if I had to poll the general golf fan public on, their least favorite episode, I bet a lot of people would pick this one just because it's pretty long. A lot of people don't like Poulter, but I thought it was good. And yeah, good contrast going over, to now we kind of talk about Damon, that live golf versus PGA Tour lifestyle. So I'll let you kick us off on the Joel Damon episode. There's got to be a part of that episode that was your favorite, because there was one for me that I was like, this is, made this probably the best episode of the show. But I'll let you talk about it
Ooh,
first. See if there's
I
a
was trying to
certain
th
scene that stood out to you. There was one for me where I was like, this guy's incredible.
Well, the one quote that a lot of people are talking about right now is Joel Damon saying, "Hey, somebody's got to be the 70th best player in the world. Might as well be me." Like, and he's almost too realistic. I think he said at one point, like, "I might be too down on myself." I think so. Like, the guy can flat out play some golf, but. Yeah, I really liked his caddy as well. A great episode for the caddy. I, in general, I think that they. I don't think Netflix should do this because it wouldn't get the eyeballs. But the PGA Tour wanted to put together some sort of caddy documentary style like that. They 1,000,000,000% could. They could get such good content because the caddies are sick out there. Like
I
caddies
was
is might be is the under most underappreciated job.
I was their banter was incredible. When there's one point he called him a boner, which honestly I was pretty shocked by that, and I bet that's not too common out there. But also when they're playing
That was probably one of the nicer things he said to him too. Like, It's it'll be like of us playing golf. If like if I'm on the back for you, I'd be like, nice hit, idiot. Or just
Well, there's another point where he's like, should I look at earlier flights? When he's has more chance of making the cut. But no, their
he's like,
relationship was awesome. But
yeah, what'd he say? Oh, there's a flight at 3, but I gotta leave the course right now. He has like 5 holes to play.
No, that was so good. But the part of the episode that just was incredible to me was the US Open qualifier. And he shoots even on the first 18, and he's like, fuck it, I'm getting 2 White Claws at lunch. That was so cool for me to see, just because I think no pro golfer would do that. And I think it just showed a unique side of him that really, shows how different he is from a lot of players there on tour. So I loved that. And then not only for him to, have a couple of drinks, but shoot 5 under and qualify for the US Open and then compete. That was like such a great series of events to wrap up that episode. I thought it was awesome.
He said something really profound there when he realized that he was out of it, out of winning the tournament, but still said, I still got something to play for. Ended up getting top 10. Not necessarily life changing, but he gets into a lot of tournaments with the top 10 finish in the major. A lot of money, world ranking points, everything that goes along with it. So Joel Damon got a lot of fans after this episode, I would say. You know who that reminded me of? That reminded me of Kyle. How like Kyle playing sober just isn't great. You throw a couple beers in him and then he's good to go.
Don't think Kyle would just have 2 White Claws at lunch, though.
No.
I remember
Nah,
correctly.
you.
I haven't seen him in a while, but I don't think he just limits it to 2 at lunch.
No.
But hey, we'll let him speak on his behalf. We won't speak for him. But yeah, no, that was such a good episode. Definitely gained a lot of fans. He's awesome.
That's right. So that's a recap, 3 and 4 of Netflix Full Swing. Loving it. Gotten some great feedback from friends as well, those who have finished it. Shout out to G. He said that this was so much better than he thought it was going to be. So, and he's a pretty skeptical person to begin with. So thank you, G-Man, for that. So Scaff, 8 minutes left. Do you want to run it? Top 5. Probably gotta go quick. Probably gotta
Let's
go
do
quick
it.
if you're good with that. All
Cool.
right, I'll let you go first this time. We're going to do snake draft again, back and forth. Top golf club manufacturers. Nike, I'm going to say, is in play because there's still a lot of people who use Nike. If you would like to use them, are you good with that?
Sure, they wouldn't even sniff my top five if they're still a current manufacturer. So we can go from there. But I'll kick us off. Gotta take the cream of the crop. I've never really used their clubs, but Titleist is number one. Through from putter all the way to drivers, they've always put out a good product. Throw in the Pro V1 as well. They're pretty unstoppable. So Titleist has got to be number one for me to kick off the draft.
Bold strategy, Cotton. Titleist, probably the most recognizable name brand in golf, I would say. They would not be my number one. I'm going to go, actually, this might be a sneaker for some people. Ping. Ping is going to be my number one selection. It's a great name, great logo. A lot of people don't realize this, but a lot of golf clubs, they are all based off the Ping styles. Like Ping is the brand and golf club manufacturers. They're the best. Ping is my number one pick.
First cavity back irons. The Ping Answer has been, that was like the original blade putter. I mean, there's a ton of history with Ping. The other thing with Ping, that was almost my number one as well. I'm a Ping guy as well, as the Ping golf bag. I mean, the Hoofer, that is high school golf through and through. And then they still
It's the
make the best
best.
golf bags, so I think that's a great pick.
Agreed.
All right,
Thank you.
my number two, I'm gonna go TaylorMade. I think we both played TaylorMade drivers, if I remember correctly. I've always loved their woods. I think they're awesome. They always make really cool stuff. When they came out with the R11 all white driver, I thought that was the coolest driver ever. And I think the rest of their stuff is really good too. Like the spider putter I had for a little while, I think that's been huge on tour and a lot of people use those. And irons as well, P790, P770s, those are blowing up. Love TaylorMade. They've got a lot of good stuff out there.
No doubt the best marketing company within golf. They market the crap out of the clubs and they're very good at it.
Tiger, Scotty, I didn't even think of who they have on staff as well. That's another thing to think about.
Rory,
Yeah.
Morikawa, like they got a lot
Yeah.
of studs out there. So, all right, number two for me, I'm gonna go Callaway. Callaway, great irons, good stuff just across the board. Steady, I would say. Callaway is just really steady. They've gotten some good stuff with the golf balls too. So yeah, I think Callaway is probably the most least recognizable brand. I've played Callaway clubs in the past. So Callaway is my number two.
Cool. I agree. Great. They offer some good stuff. I will say I thought they had shit for the longest time. I'm gonna left about the last 10 years or so, I think they really stepped it up. I think the Epic was their first good driver that I liked. Before that, I thought they were really
Yeah.
bad, but they've always been really good. All right, I don't know if you're gonna allow this one. Because
Oh.
it's under the Titleist umbrella.
Oh no.
Scotty Cameron.
Oh man.
Are you gonna allow that or no?
The play's under review right now. Can we get a
Okay,
full ref timeout?
I'll move on. All right,
You know
number
what?
three.
I'm gonna say yes. I'll allow it.
Because then I could have
It's
just
a
said
great
a
call.
cushion. I could have just said a cushion and taken the whole gambit
Yeah.
of Titleist products. But yeah, I'll do
Great,
Scotty
great
Cameron.
point.
Scotty Cameron, it's the number one putter in golf. They're so badass. Everyone in high school golf who thought they were good at putting but sucked had one. But they're great. They make such cool putters. I've actually never had one. I've always kind of wanted one, but yeah, I love Scotty
Really?
Cameron putter. Yeah.
Wow, that's shocking.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I've used a Scotty right now too. That's like saying, hey, I'm gonna take the answer. Like it's a pain. But Scotty Cameron has developed his own brand so much. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yep.
All right, I dig it. I'm kind of jealous that I didn't think to use Scotty Cameron as well. So let's see. Number three for me, I'm kind of torn here, T-Bone. I'm gonna go Mizuno. In my opinion, Mizuno makes the second best irons out there because I think Ping at the end of the day still makes the best irons. But Mizuno irons are second best in my opinion and probably the most underrated. Mizuno irons are fantastic. They never really sign the big names, so that's why I think they don't get the love that they deserve on tour. But I love Mizuno. Played Mizuno for like 10 years for irons, so big fan. Mizuno is my number three pick.
Mizuno's great. The blades, Mizuno blades, the coolest looking clubs ever.
Yeah.
Any
See,
year they
that's what I
make
was
them.
thinking.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you know, people might say that, oh, I'm reaching for number three with Mizuno, but if you're familiar with those irons and those blades, wow, they're so good.
Yep. Yep. All right. I don't want to do another loophole here with taking Vokey. I've done enough Titleist.
Oh, if you Vokey's a definitely no-go.
I'll leave that off the table. So this brand kind of sucks, but it has a soft spot in my heart because it was my first real set of irons. I'm gonna go with Cobra.
Wow.
Cobra was my first set of irons. I think the Baffler Cobra hybrids back in the day were really great clubs. Nowadays, I don't know about their irons. They fucked around with the single length irons with Bryson. I was just like, guys, come on. You can't be doing this. But I have hit their woods. I like them a lot. Kyle Berkshire, long drive world champion, is a big Cobra guy. I think there's some people on tour that are, like Lexi Thompson, I guess, is that they kind of have Bryson. Formerly Bryson, I guess, but I guess they kind of have like the Bomet mentality. So I've liked their woods. I don't think I'll ever buy them at this point, but kind of has a soft spot in my heart too with my first set of irons. So yeah, I'll go number four or Cobra.
Definitely known for their woods. Irons, not good. Everything else, not so good. Apparel, look, they had Ricky for a while, but it's just not my style. So, but yeah, but halfway decent drivers, just not for me. But yeah, look, it's not a bad pick that they're on the list. So it's
Yep.
not too bad. All right, T-Bone, for my fourth. Man, I don't know which direction I want to go in here, I don't think, but I gotta go with something.
Getting a little ticky
See,
tacky with the once you get
see,
up past three.
yeah, once you get past three, I feel like these brands are more known for something. One
Yeah.
particular, if whether it be a ball, an iron, a wedge, driver, whatever it is, kind of what we were just saying for Cobra. Yikes. Okay, I just gotta pick one. I'm gonna go Cleveland. Cleveland Golf wedges are unbelievable. The wedges really were the premier wedge before, especially the Vokey came along. Everybody used Cleveland wedges. They were a big VJ sponsor as well. So I think Cleveland Golf, they've stood the staple of time long enough to where I think they deserve to be on this list.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good pick. They've wedges for sure. I think it's like hit or miss with anything else they come out with. And yeah, definitely have their niche in wedges. So I think for a four spot, it's not a bad pick.
Okay. Thank you. Thank
All
Round
right.
us out, T-Bone.
Wrapping us up, number five. I don't like picking this one. I kind of feel, I don't know. I'll give my reasoning on why I'm picking it. But number five, I'm going to go PXG. Parsons
You,
Extreme Golf.
I couldn't tell if that's where you were going with it, man. Unbelievable. Tell me
Yeah.
why. Tell me why.
So their club, maybe not their clubs, but their irons have a lot of similarities to Ping, which I like a lot. I want to say they brought in a high up engineer design guy to help with PXG club. So, I'm not going to lie, their marketing I like a lot. I always, when I'm watching the Golf Channel locally, they're like free fittings or like, this latest model is $300, like fully customized. I'm like, damn, like I don't really hear that from other manufacturers, and even in the Houston area, they've opened up PXG stores, so I think that's pretty cool. I haven't been to any, but with all that said, I don't like spending, or I wouldn't like spending $400 on an iron or $300 on an iron. It's outrageous, but I do think it's pretty impressive that they just kind of jumped into the golf equipment space and made a pretty big impact pretty quick. Signed a lot of tour guys, that are using their stuff, and they're kind of hanging around. But one thing that's actually funny about PXG, so the founder is the founder of GoDaddy.com, and he said he was spending $200,000 a year on golf equipment trying to find something he liked, so figured he'd start his own brand. $200,000 a year on golf equipment. So I guess he had to make up for those costs somehow. But yeah,
What?
PXG roundup. I don't know how that's even possible. So
Yeah,
yeah.
don't go around telling people that, or people will get mad.
Yeah.
Wow, that is crazy town. I didn't realize. I knew it was some guy who just like wanted to start his own golf company, and yeah, he poached a bunch of the top guys at other golf companies, top engineers. Yeah, they're definitely one of the more well-known brands outside of like TaylorMade, Titleist, Callaway, and then whoever was on our list. They're very well known, but I know one person who uses PXG clubs, and I think he's about to get rid of Take it for that as you will. So, look, in terms of popularity, not a good, not a bad pick, T-Bone. Not a bad pick at all. I think that's a good list that you got. Good list that you got.
Appreciate
Man,
that.
so for my fifth one, I'm going to go a little bit different direction here. I hope this is okay. I'm going to go FootJoy.
I don't think I can allow
What? I love Scotty Cameron.
it. I had FootJoy written down, but I was like, it's not equipment. I guess technically it is, but then I was thinking shirts and stuff too. And if it was allowed, it would probably be top three for me.
I was thinking more gloves. Gloves equipment.
Yeah. I'll allow it. I'll allow it, but
Well, I definitely see what you're saying here. So, okay, if I had to pick a 5B outside of this, man. Well, dadgum, that was my pick. Let's see. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go Strixon. I thought about doing Bridgestone, but Bridgestone only just does their golf balls. So, like, obviously Tiger plays that, right? I think Bridgestone is some of the best golf balls out there on the market, but they don't have
I
much
feel like
else. Actually,
they
I'm gonna
make
take it back.
clubs, but they're. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm gonna take all that back. I might cut it. My fifth pick, I'm gonna go with Ben Hogan Golf Company. I tell you what, no lie, I had a Ben
Sweet.
Hogan 7-wood in high school, and I could not miss with that thing. That was one of the most reliable clubs in my bag, a 7-wood. And I had that thing for years. Even when I like really started swinging hard at it, I still had that regular flex 7-wood in my bag. So it was that perfect number that I needed.
Yeah.
Look, I kind of with Cleveland, Ben Hogan Golf has been around for a long time. And they have withstood the test of time. The clubs are actually very underrated. And so I'm going to go Ben Hogan Golf Company for my number five,
So if
Ben
I
Hogan Golf
remember
Clubs.
correctly, they like, I don't know if they shut down for a little bit and rebranded, but their headquarters and I think like manufacturing facilities is all in Fort Worth, and it's probably in the last 5 to 10 years. And I agree, their clubs have been awesome. The Texas roots are strong, so I don't think they have much advertising or publicity outside of Texas very much. But I feel like they were really big in the 80s, 70s, 80s, 90s, kind of went away. I guess you had the 7-wood, but no, interesting pick, was not on my radar at all. So
Oh
I don't
man,
expect it.
this
Any
might be a mistake.
honorable
I'm having the research team in my
mentions?
ear here, and it said that the company officially shut down in July 2022. So, man, that's thank you, research guy. I appreciate it. That
Yeah,
is
we may have to let you take foot joy.
I'm gonna go back to Strixon for my fifth one then. Strixon, look, Strixon, they have cool looking hats, good golf balls. They actually do create halfway decent clubs. It's not the best, but halfway decent. So yeah, that's why okay, fine. This is very roundabout way of saying Strixon's my fifth.
Love it. Love it. We'll have to post these on Instagram or something and do a vote from the fans.
That's right. That's right. We definitely, who was not on my list was Wilson Goff. I'm looking at you, Garzon Lopez. You know.
Yeah, any other missing top flight, Wilson. I was thinking like
Don't not.
maybe Odyssey with kind of the Scotty Cameron comparison, but yeah, there really are kind of the main players of the space. But after that third pick or so, it's just kind of like, what do I hate the least?
That's right. Yeah, Bridgestone, as we talked about, Club Car is listed here. That's weird. There are also some international brands that I'm not,
Club
or
Car would have
international.
been interesting. That would have been a wild card pick.
Yeah,
Throw in. I kind
right.
of like it though. I kind of like it.
Or yeah, Pinnacle is another
Hanma,
one.
Hanma.
Hanma. Oh, dude, have you ever hit Hanma clubs?
No.
There was a guy in high school that I played with who had Hanma clubs, and pretty clean,
It
pretty
was
clean.
Justin Rose's worst year on tour when he signed with them. That's all I know.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. He got paid too. That was right after he won the U.S. Open, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think so.
Man.
Alien Wedge, Alien Golf.
That's right. Oh, sorry.
The
Shout
hammer,
out
Jack
to.
Hammer. You remember Jack Hammer?
Are you maybe? Oh my gosh, you're messing with me now. It's like when Bryson named his clubs. That's what it sounds
No.
like.
Yeah.
Also, shout out to friend of the pod, Terry Kaler, Edison Golf Wedges. So go check him out, Edison Golf Wedges. He was on the podcast, did a full like 30, 45-minute phone call with him. Actually went back and listened to that the other day. Pretty awesome. He did a
Are
really
they in
good
Fort
job.
Worth?
They're based in Texas, yes. I think they're in Fort Worth.
I think I've heard
So his
about them
big thing
before.
is customizable wedges.
Yeah.
Getting fitted for wedges. A lot of people don't get fitted for wedges. They'll get fitted for irons, drivers, the whole thing. But you actually use your wedge more in a round than you would almost any other club. So
Yeah.
pretty interesting. So go check out Edison Wedges. Pretty big fan. I might
Nice.
get some. I need some new ones. T-Bone, that's some good stuff, man. Top five. Good week in golf. Maybe a little slower week in golf, being that next week on a Palmer elevated event. All the top names are going to be there. Pretty excited. Don't know who's going to win. Don't really want to give a pick. I don't know if you do or not, but I'm excited for this week.
Yeah. No, I liked this episode. I liked bringing back golf gossip. Need to get that back in the mix. I feel re-energized with this top five pick. I think the fans will get a little incentivized too with voting each week and giving us some different topics. But yeah, Arnold Palmer this week, I'm pretty excited about, even more excited about the players. So we got some good stuff lined up.
Absolutely, we do. And we appreciate y'all sticking with us all the way through this podcast. If you're still here, you got to give us that subscribership. Like, you're still here, so you might as well do it. Subscribe to us on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Write that review, 5 stars. You know the drill. Share the videos. I'm trying to upload clips to YouTube at least like once or twice, once a day, and then long form clips like maybe once a week or something like that. So just really kind of depends on what time I get to, but I posted 2 clips from the full podcast last week on YouTube. So it was our top five President's Cuts moments and then the full swing recap. So maybe I'll clip those. T-Bone, I'll try to get to the other ones as well and send them your way for the gram. That's all I got for this week. T-Bone, I'll pass it over to you for the final word.
I think we killed it. I don't think I have too many words left. I'm just ready for, yeah, Arnold Palmer and players.
Golf is hot right now. Golf is hot. It's hot. Daylight savings is right around the corner, too, people. Don't
Very
forget
true.
that. We are officially, not officially, but golf season is within the purview at the moment. Couldn't be more excited. We appreciate y'all taking this journey with us. For Scott, I'm Scott, for T-Bone. And remember,
Little White Ball is life.